Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
It's a glorious thing to overlook a transgression. It's shame when you end up losing it.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms, if you would. We want to look at one of the Psalms that David penned towards the end of his life and expresses feelings that we all sometimes deal with, and that's the area of fretting and getting angry and handling conflict. And this was penned by David after he had received the kingdom. This really sums up some of the events that we'll be looking at today in 1 Samuel 25. Some of the thoughts that David later, maybe he, as one commentary stated, had the book of Job in his hand. He certainly was reflecting on events of his own life. And in Psalms 37, I'd like to read out loud verse 1 through 8. I preached on this a while ago on the sevenfold strategy out of seven action verbs. But David here expresses to us what at this time that we'll be looking at today he wished he would have done. First, let's read Psalms 37. David's pen puts on ink that for us today become great living words. Let's read out loud. Ready? Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Three times David was recalling in his life, don't fret, don't literally, the word and the idea is to get hot over something that is unnecessary. God will work. And this acrostic psalm is what David penned. And as his mind maybe was racing back to 1 Samuel 25 and one snapshot of event that unfolded for David, a heart that needed to be healed. And I'd like to talk about that today in the title, What to Feed an Angry Man. I trust it'll be of help to you. And even as we are this month finishing out 12 different portraits of who God is, that God's our healer. And those of you that have not been with us, all of these are portraits of who God is to us. In essence, our iPod, our individual portrait of deity. And I hope that this has been encouragement to you as starting in August, we'll be starting a whole new theme, and we will present that to you very shortly. I was reminded again how much we do need to show mercy to one another. We were at Morgan's house at another celebration as we did last year, last couple of years, but their house and a number of small ones, 2, 3 years old and younger, playing in the sand. Well, I don't know if it's a sand pit, but it's kind of like a sand pit. And I had not been around a number of the younger ones for a while, so I was reminded again of how quickly we can get territorial and get easily offended by the little ones that were understandably at their age, almost comical to me, actually, because they're not my children, you see, and forgivable, and all the parents were right on it, and it was a good thing. But in young ages like that, it's to be expected. Yet when you get older and then you see events happen where somebody gets just as offended and injustice has taken place and they lash out, it's not as comical, and actually it's sad and many times explosive and very difficult to repair, which is what you find in the life of David. Today I want to talk about the topic of what to feed an angry man, subtitled, How to Work Through Conflicts. How do you work through conflicts when they come? You say, well, I don't have any. Well, you come and sign my Bible, because you'll be right up there with nobody, because everybody has to deal with it. And how do you deal with it? 1 Samuel 25 is a little snapshot, as I mentioned earlier, about the life of David. And just a quick overview, as we've done the last few weeks here in the life of David. We started with it being 15 years old, that he was selected by God to become king. And if you have a journal, I'd encourage you to jot this down. If you don't, you have a piece of paper, take some notes, because it'll be helpful to you to remember. No one can remember everything that they know. I encourage you to do so. We also talked about the slaying of the giant and what catapulted David into leadership at 16. And then the start of his public leadership, when the reality was he was serving the king. And then misjustices and misunderstandings, insecurities and fears put him in a place that he's now being shaped in the wilderness. And we're coming to the end of that time period. I'm just going to slice out a couple of areas that I think could be encouraging to you and helpful to you as David here is being shaped in the wilderness, getting close to, as he doesn't know this, heading into the kingship. He's probably 28, 29 years old. He's been out in the wilderness with 600 men in his own way, being shaped by God, being prepared for the throne. Now, let me stop right here. You know why we're going through the life of David? I mentioned this a while ago. We are not going through the life of David to glorify him. Look at him. He is so perfect. You'll find out today that not to be true. We're not doing this either just to imitate David or any other Bible character. I want to be just like David. As I mentioned, you can't be. Well, we do wear sandals similar to what they would be wearing. But other than that, you're not going to be and just imitate David, because as we're going to see today, you don't want to imitate this element. And we're not just doing this for information. Boy, you got good Bible knowledge. Now you can talk about David with all great authority. You can talk about his greatest elevated point of decision called slaying Goliath and his greatest failure with Bathsheba. Or even today, talking about one element that God chose to document. The reason why we're doing all this is to elevate who is David's God. He's alive. He's expressed it through his own son in Jesus Christ, and he will make a difference for you today. Some of you struggle more so with this topic today than others, but we all get put into a place by God where it unveils for us what we know to be a need. Fact is, Charles Spurgeon's the one that wisely made the statement that stormy weather may curdle even the cream of humanity. Certainly to be true. Look at 1 Samuel 25, because I think you'll end up finding this to be helpful to you today. And really, this is just an illustration. I like to really start with illustrations in our messages, but this message is about an illustration of what is New Testament truth, because New Testament reaffirms this topic today. Well, Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Look at Colossians 3:8. But now you also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, feelings of ill will towards someone, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Hey, did you get that? It's a glorious thing to overlook a transgression. It's shame when you end up losing it. Or as David said in Psalms 37, fret not thyself. Literally, you get hot under the collar or under the robe, as it may be in that day. Have you ever seen somebody that just loses it? This is what happened to David. And interesting to note, what happens in chapter 25 is so opposite what happened in chapter 24. Because chapter 24 is David caught in a cave, and God allows Saul to come into the cave, and David happens to be there with all of his men. His men are whispering in his ear, "David, God brought along Saul. Take care of him. Wipe him out." And David wisely said in 1 Samuel 24, "I'm not going to put my hand against the anointed. I'm not going to do that." And in a movement that he could have retaliated, he didn't. And in that moment, David was lifted up. Now chapter 25 comes along, and look at verse 1, where you end up finding Samuel dies. Samuel is one of the four men that are highlighted in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel is talking about Samuel. He also talks about Eli. He talks about Saul and David. Those are the four main characters in this particular book of 1 Samuel. And Samuel dies. David's mentor, David's spiritual advisor, the man that selected David by the choice of God to anoint David at a very young age. Saul, who had rejected the advice and counsel by Samuel. David, who thoroughly embraced Samuel. Samuel dies. Maybe this is a big part of why you end up having the events take place. But notice verse 1, "And all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in the house at Ramah. And David arose, and he went down to the wilderness of Paran." Actually, David couldn't be a part of all of this as much as what he would like to because of the fear of Saul and the constant attacks of Saul. And David now finds himself greatly hurting because of Lossman. Maybe that's a big part of what happened and fed the event happened here. Maybe it was the fact that as David in 1 Samuel 24 finds out that David is now the self-restrained and now he needs to be restrained, and we all have our moments. And I'd like to look at the story in three very simple parts. Let me give you three characters, the primary characters, and let me give you the characteristics of each one of these. Because if you are breathing and living today, I promise you, sometime along the way of life, you will need to be reminded of this truth. Let me give you, first of all, the character of Nabal, because I put it as the absurdity by Nabal, or in other words, this was the provocation. And the fact is, the story develops like basically a one-act play unfolding a few scenes. It was common practice and custom, much like today in tipping of a waitress, that when the sheep were sheared, the owner of the lot would pay a portion of his profit to those who had protected his shepherds. And this is where you end up finding this man. And notice verse 2, "There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. He has a wife named Abigail, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb." Verse 4, "And David heard the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep." And I won't read verse 5 through 8, but you end up finding this is where David sent his 10 young men out, and he took care of them. He protected these sheep shearers from others that would come in and try and steal the wool and steal the sheep and attack the men, and he protected them all. And that's what you end up finding what happens in verse 9 when David's young men came and they spoke to Nabal and said, according to the words, and the custom really was to pay them for this, that Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who's David? I mean, who's the son of Jesse?" It was absurd. It was foolish. In fact, his Nabal's own name, as we find out later by his own wife, means fool. He lived his life as if there were no God. He was stubborn, wealthy, harsh, dishonest in his dealings, a lousy husband, and selfishness was at the core. That was Nabal.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.